If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Now, what about perfectionism? It's often defined as the need to be or appear to be perfect, or even to believe that it's possible to achieve perfection, but there's much more to it indeed. And I'm glad to be joined by Lorna Butler of PDC Coaching. Good morning to you, Lorna. Lovely to see you today. Perfectionism, we were just saying off air, it's something that's thrown around an awful lot, but there's kind of a lack of understanding of what it really is.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, as we were saying earlier on, it can look like healthy striving from the outside, perfectionism. And really, there's a core difference between those two things. Healthy striving is something that's internally driven. Perfectionism is something that's externally driven. And perfectionism is really about perception and seeking approval for things and seeking approval from other people. And it has, when you look at healthy striving and you look at what happens when you're doing something and you mightn't necessarily do it the way you wanted to, or life throws something at you.
Yes.
There's a difference between how you react when you're healthy striving versus perfectionism. So healthy striving is you accept that mistakes happen, that you're human and that you can see the opportunities and learn from them. Perfectionism can have a totally different impact. It can really impact the person's ability to carry on, and really, like, it can lead to stress and burnout,
beating ourselves up,
highly self-critical.
Yes.
As perfectionists are.
Right. And you know, at the end of the day, I would think there's no such a thing as being perfect anyway. I mean, you know,
we're human. Yeah, exactly. And like, as I said, perfectionism is a coping mechanism. So when we're seeking approval or acceptance from other people, we can feel like we can control that if we can control doing everything perfectly. So if I look perfect, work perfect and be perfect, as Brené Brown says, then I can avoid or minimise any shame, judgment or blame. So it's that internal space that where we experience those emotional turmoil, or, you know, those discomfort in those emotions, we tend to move away from them by trying to achieve perfectionism. And perfectionism is a double-edged sword. Like, it's like it can motivate you, like healthy striving.
Yes.
But actually, the consequences of it can be significant, especially on your own mental health and well-being.
What kind of are people prone to this? Are there particular personality types that are prone to this?
Yeah, like perfectionism is sometimes a coping mechanism that we learn from early on. So if we see somebody in our family or, you know, a significant caregiver being and striving to be perfect, then we can adapt our personality. But like, sometimes it can be more prevalent in people who are very conscientious or very detail orientated. You can kind of see maybe a slightly more perfectionist tendencies in those types of personality traits.
Mm, but it can pass down through generations, but mainly because of a copying situation, is it?
Copying situations. And also, if you're the type of person who's experienced a lot of shame and judgment and blame as a young person growing up, then you develop perfectionist tendencies so that you want everything to be brilliant all of the time. So it's a very black and white thinking. Perfectionism is like, it's either right or wrong. There's no, like, there's no middle ground with it. So
right.
You kind of learn, if you're doing things wrong all the time and you're getting feedback that you're doing things wrong all the time as you navigate through kind of childhood, then you kind of lean into trying to be perfect and trying to do everything right all the time to avoid those feelings, because those feelings made you feel a certain way and you don't want to feel those.
Of course, I presume as well it would help towards avoiding confrontation about issues, that if you get everything right all of the time, people aren't going to judge you or, you know, say you need to do better and hassle you and stuff like that. Is that part of the protection of it?
Yeah, like it's definitely a coping mechanism. And when we fear being judged or blamed, the easiest thing to do is try to get everything right and strive for that perfection. But, you know, it is, we kind of see the mistakes that we make when we're perfectionists as like personal defects or flaws.
Failures.
Like we internalize them. Yeah. We don't see that we're allowed to fail, that we're allowed to make mistakes. And when we do, they can have huge consequences for us.
It's interesting. So when somebody comes to you and they show the traits of being a perfectionist, what do you say? How do you begin to address that, Lorna?
So some of the common traits that you might see, or you, like for your listeners to might like delve into to understand if they're a perfectionist, is like you obviously have really high standards as a perfectionist, and we tend to be over self-critical. So everything, you know, that inner critic voice is really loud. It can tear you down. If you make a mistake, it can actually set you back, you know, with your own mental health and well-being as well. We can procrastinate as well. So, you know, we can't start something unless it's perfect, unless it's going to be perfect, unless the process is going to be perfect. We can struggle with decision making. And as I said, that real black and white thinking, that right or wrong, and there's no in between. And so when we kind of look at those common traits, and when people come and they work with me on perfectionism, really, it's there's a couple of things that needs to happen. One is we kind of need to challenge that negative self-talk, that critical piece that doesn't allow you to make mistakes, because we're human. Like, we're just designed to make mistakes, and it's what we do with the information rather than how we internalize it. But and another big thing is self-compassion. So self-compassion for a perfectionist is really difficult, and it can interfere with their relationships as well, because if you can't be compassionate towards yourself for making a mistake, then you'll find it really difficult to be compassionate towards your partner, your children, your anyone that you're having a relationship, your work colleague. Do you know what I mean? So you're more likely to be self-critical and judge them, because that's what you would do to yourself.
That's very interesting. So you might be missing empathy because of this as well.
Yeah, like compassion and empathy can be quite low in perfectionists because of their own desire to be perfect and to be, and believing that if they're self-critical, it'll motivate them to do better the next time, which like is impossible because there's no such thing as perfect. So you're striving for something that doesn't exist. Yeah. And that's why differentiating between perfectionism and healthy striving is really important. Because from the outside, as I said, they both look the same. But it's what happens on the inside when things don't go to plan. That's where you can differentiate the difference.
Right. And these can be very unhappy people, I guess, Lorna.
Well, from the outside, they don't look like they're unhappy.
Yes.
But yeah, they're absolutely. I think the more turmoil that, like, the higher the level of perfectionism, the more turmoil you experience internally. So, like, perfectionism is about control as well. So when you're wanting everything to look perfect and be perfect, you can control that to a degree, or you can believe that you can control that. Whereas what's happening inside, unless you kind of turn inward and really look at what's going on, it can kind of feel a little bit out of control.
Hmm. In terms of addressing it, then, I presume it's not an overnight fix, I would imagine, because it's sort of a personality change in a lot of ways.
Yeah, like, and I suppose that a lot of the work that I do with my clients, it's not a quick fix. Like, there's no band-aid to put on it. It's really about understanding from an individual's perspective where and why they've developed perfectionism as a coping mechanism. And that's so different for everybody, because the more I lean into this work, the more you see that individuals are so different. And even if you're brought up in the same family, you can be so different because you weren't raised by the same parents at the same time. You know, your parents got older, maybe you were first, second or third. Like, there's so many different factors that influence kind of who we are and why we do what we do. And so it's really about kind of leaning into it and seeing what's happening for me here, that this is driving my behaviour.
Yeah, the opposite to this would drive me nuts as well. Somebody who doesn't give a hoot and would never look about the details and would look at the big picture and, you know, feck it, we'll move on from here. That would drive me as mad, no, I have to say. But maybe that says something about me being a perfectionist. But do you know what I mean? Like, is that something you come across?
Generally speaking, those type of people don't necessarily want to reflect inward because they don't recognize they need help. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, sure, look, I'm grand. Sure, well, you know, it's fine and life is happening and it's all good. So, yeah, like generally speaking, they kind of sit on the opposite side. But they will struggle with getting things done, being motivated, getting, you know, setting small goals, achieving them, all of those types of things. So that's a whole other issue.
A whole other issue indeed. But as you say, those people don't need help. But there's a friend of mine I have a constant argument with, because she says, you know, ah, sure, it doesn't matter. Sure, nobody's going to notice. I said, I don't care what they notice. I just know what I know myself, you see.
Yeah.
So it's internalizing this thing and sort of striving. But if somebody is naturally ambitious and wants to achieve and stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a different
As I said, that's more healthy striving. So healthy striving is, I have goals, I want to achieve them. You know, I understand the process that I have to go through along the way. But where you slip into perfectionism is if something happens along that process, a mistake is made or something comes at you from left field, you don't feel like your world is collapsing. You don't feel like it doesn't lead to like overwhelm or stress or anxiety or burnout. You're kind of like, OK, this mistake has happened. What can I learn from this? What can I do differently? How can I get back on track? And so that's why the difference is so, like, you can't see it, but you can feel it as an individual. You can feel the difference.
And the classic question has been, have you seen people turn around from this, Laura?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, again, there's no quick fix. The work that I do, again, is more longer term work with people, just working with their different coping mechanisms. Perfection is just one of many things, but it does take time. But it's about reframing your thoughts, understanding where it comes from, and creating new neurological pathways. So what you're doing every time you lean into doing something different with your perfectionist tendencies, that lends itself to rewiring, and that takes time and consistency. I always say consistency over intensity all the time. So it's really small, consistent steps rather than one giant leap into trying to do everything at once.
And you know, something that intrigues me as well, perfectionism, does that come with other baggage as well? Would people like that tend to be maybe depressed, maybe anxious, maybe? Are there other issues along with the perfectionist?
Yeah, so like a lot of times people won't actually come and say, look, I need to work, I'm a perfectionist and I need to work on perfectionism. They'll come to me because they're feeling really stressed, really burnt out. You know, they don't really understand what's happening. But again, as you step into and listen and hear their story, you can start to pinpoint exactly what's happening. And like perfectionism and caring about what other people think and being like trying to have control, they're all kind of key indicators that, you know, perfectionism is at play.
It's very interesting. If people want to talk to you as a coach, how can they do that?
Yeah, so the website is pdccoaching.com and my mobile is 087-2808-711.
All right, so that's a big call out for all the perfectionists.
All
out
the perfectionists.
Lauren, lovely to see you. Thanks very much as always. Thank you indeed. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to George, who's joining me now. George, good morning to you. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
And good to talk to you today, George. You're going back to a conversation that we had last week about the wood chips in Offaly and the carbon footprint of all of that.
That's right. It's ridiculous what's happening.
Yeah.
They're bringing in shiploads of wood chip into Fines and wood chip and mill peat, moss peat, importantly, into this country.
With a huge carbon footprint because we have the shipping of it, we have the trucking of it, all of these things from
exactly.
Brazil. Yeah. Yeah.
That man talking about Mr. Ryan, would any hope you'd bring him on the phone? Your programme?
Yeah, we had him on the programme in the past when we were doing outside broadcasts stuff. He talks a good game, though, you see.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? So that's the most ridiculous thing. Look at the pollution that out of the ship alone coming in without the trucks hauling from Fines down to Eden Derry,
and if memory serves me correct, it was a Japanese registered carrier, a Japanese ship that brought these wood chips from Brazil and brought it into Fines, trucked it all the way to Offaly. It sounds crazy, all right, doesn't it?
It does. It's too ridiculous. It couldn't make sense what he's doing.
Yeah,
you know. And all the lovely peat down in down around Offaly there and Eden Derry and it's piled up around the whole area. Like, what's wrong? Is the fumes different out of the wood chip that he's bringing in? is the pollution different than our own peat here? Is there some discrepancy in the two, I wonder. I'd love to talk to him.
What's happening, George? Are you seeing a lot of this kind of, you know, the cart before the horse, you know, big decisions being made, changes being made, but nothing put in place?
Exactly. Yeah. They're trying to stop the peas and cut the turf and pure stupid. And nothing really like to replace it, you know?
Yeah. And what do you make of that? Because, of course, they tell us about all the emissions into the air by wood burning and turf burning and all of that. Do you accept any of that?
I wouldn't, indeed. Like, there's so many people after dying through smoke in inhalation. I wonder where did the most of them die? Was it around Offaly or was it in Dublin? Or where was it, you know, or was it from fumes, from peat?
It's an interesting one, all right. You're saying in the built-up areas, this would be much more of an issue. Is that it, rather than...
Yeah.
Open country and the
exactly.
Yeah. Have you stopped burning turf and wood? And
oh, no intention to stop burning either. None whatsoever.
Have you not? Are you farming as well, George?
Sure, we do a bit of everything, you know.
that's such an Irish answer. That is a bit of everything. Yeah. And what do you make about this whole business that you're responsible for all of these emissions from the cattle?
Not at all. He's in cuckoo land, that man.
Do you think?
Know? Yeah. He's bringing in rules one day and changing them. Like, actually, he's running our country today. That individual, because we have two very weak men with him. And what they're there for is they get the full term and get their pension and bye-bye Blackboard after that.
Do you think that they don't have our best at heart? You think it's all about money for them, do you?
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah. They don't care. Like, Michael Martin, he'll be going off to... He have a big job. He's heading up, and that other fellow there, what's his name, Varadkar?
Leo Varadkar, yeah.
He isn't a clue what's happening down the country, and he doesn't care either.
And did you support a political party in the past, George?
Oh, definitely, Sinn Féin, by all means. Right. I'd love to see him get a run at it and see what they do, and right. if they're not doing it right, then throw him out again, you know.
But
we have one man running the country today.
Who's that?
Eamon Ryan is running the country. He's running the country with two lambs, you know. He's calling the shots and they'll obey what he'd say.
And what if he said to you that, look, you know, we have all sorts of obligations from Europe and international obligations and all of that to do this, and in the past we've been very poor at addressing climate change. What would you say to that, George?
I'd tell him, get the hell out of Europe. We'd manage to find it out.
Do you think we would?
I think so now at this stage. All we're doing is paying back money. And see the rates again this morning.
Yeah.
I know. How are people going to... They're counteracting everything they do. They're trying to bring in cheap houses and cheap loans, and then they drive the rates up. It's a crazy situation. They're like a crowd of fools from the country.
The European Central Bank then rising their... Yeah, as you say, mortgages then will be going up and...
Of course they will, and everybody back to worse than ever. Like, it's a poor, ridiculous situation. But all because... The two guys that's with Ryan are looking after their work. If they go again, Ryan, he'll pull the plug and bring the government down. Now, I'll guarantee you, when there's a few months left in the government...
Do you think
They'll pull the plug, yeah.
Do you think it'll go down this year after the budget or something like that?
I'd say that whichever of them have the courage to bring it down, if they have the courage, and if they're happy with their pensions and that everything is in order, and they're individual... They'll pull the plug in. Yeah.
God, that's very cynical, George. Do you really believe they're as cynical as that about it?
I do, of course. Should anyone with common knowledge since know exactly what they're doing? They have no more interest in Ireland and in the country. And what they're there for is that what they can get out of it.
And the people you'd be chatting to and stuff, do they all believe that?
Everyone, one is worse than the other.
That's the general consensus of the people.
Exactly, it is. Yeah, the general consensus is they're there to get their pension. They're there for the long haul. And Eamon Ryan is calling the shots. We have one governor. Eamon Ryan is running the country.
All right, George, great to talk to you today, and thanks very much indeed for that. That's it for me. Emma produced, Ellie looks after our content, and Stephen is on the way with the time tunnel. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Look after yourselves, won't you? Bye-bye.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.